If someone is knee-deep in addiction and tries to change, what will really help recovery stick? Some people argue it's a relationship with God or simply spirituality. Many addiction 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous champion the idea of a higher power. Joining us to talk about spirituality, addiction, and recovery is Jeremiah Johnson. He's a recovering addict and the director of church relations for the Union Rescue Mission on Skid Row in Los Angeles. We've also got Chris Ringwald. He's the author of The Soul of Recovery, Uncovering the Spiritual Dimension in the Treatment of Addiction. Thanks to you both for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
So, Jeremiah, I'm going to start with your story. Flashback 10 or 15 years ago. Who were you? What were you using? What was your life like?
Oh, I was a complete crackhead. You know, my life was about hurt and pain and trying to get even.
Why did you turn to crack?
It was my way out. You know, I was medicating myself from the loss of parents. You know, I lost my mother when I was 16, my father when I was 12. You know, and it was a way of getting in with the people I was hanging out with. You know, this is what my friends did.
So where did that road take you?
Separation from Christ, prison, ICU. It took me everywhere that I didn't want to go. It hurt me.
I imagine there's a lot of different stories between the time that you were dealing with the most intense level of addiction and where you are now, which is where you're helping other people. But give me a sense of what your turning point was. When did you flip the switch and decide I can be sober and I can, you know, use spirituality as part of that?
Well, you know, first of all, I didn't even know I was addicted. I thought that that was the way, you know, I was living. You know, I wasn't familiar with no 12-step recovery programs, none of that stuff. But what turned my light on is when the lady, Violet Dixon, who was my surrogate mother, kind of say, I had her crying in the driveway. She told me that I was killing her. And she hauled off and socked me in the jaw, and she was 83.
Wow. Tough love right there.
That's right. Mama don't play.
Yeah. So what did you do after that?
I went to Long Beach trying to find a recovery program, and a friend of mine brought me down to the Union Rescue Mission. And I sat there, and, you know, I knew I was dying. You know, I knew I was doing life in prison on an installment plan. So I really wanted to be clean and sober. I just didn't know how. So I just paid attention to what they had to say.
Before we go to Chris, what role, you mentioned religion, what role does religion play in sobriety, recovery, all that for you?
Jesus Christ is first and foremost in my life. It's everything. Because I say without religion, without faith, I wouldn't have made it. You know, I still would have been chasing a pipe dream. I've been sitting on the curb wondering how I got there.
Chris, you've written a book on the whole issue of spirituality, addiction, recovery. What is it that you have tried to say in your book? And, you know, how do you resonate with the whole story of Jeremiah?
Well, it's an honor to hear Jeremiah's story, and it does echo in many ways the different stories that I heard when I interviewed probably a couple hundred addicts and alcoholics about their path into addiction and then out and into recovery. But you have the usual benchmarks, you know, person reaches a point where they just can't take it anymore. All of a sudden there's this little opening where they think, gee, I have to do something. And then, you know, if they're lucky, a solution shows up, and it may be Jesus Christ as embodied and conveyed by the Union Gospel Mission. It might be a higher power that the people in Alcoholics Anonymous talk about. It may be Allah, you know, for other people who go into Islam or Nation of Islam. And then even for people who eschew spirituality or God, and let's say take a more cognitive behavioral approach, there's something still similar. They hit that point of powerlessness, they find or hear about a solution, and then they have faith in that solution. And that's really the trigger.
When you say someone has faith in a solution, do you think that it is, you know, just personally, do you think that that faith is, for lack of a better word, true and transcendent? Or do you think that that faith is maybe desperate and helpful but illusory?
I think it's all those things except illusory. Because it's born out of a desperation. People would not be looking for a solution if what they were doing was working, but the fact is for thousands, millions of alcoholics and addicts, what they've been doing, drugs, alcohol, no longer works. And so, yes, there's a mix of desperation, of maybe some genuine faith left over from their childhood. There may be even some illusions and delusions, but the real test is going to be effectiveness. People practice a faith. Ultimately, people join a religion or a 12-step group or what have you based on whether or not it works for them. And that's been true throughout religious history for thousands of years.
Jeremiah, what is it exactly that you do? When we hear a title like Director of Church Relations for a mission, what does it mean to be the Director of Church Relations?
Well, what I do is I go out and raise support through churches. I have a musical outreach ministry called Brothers in Christ, and we all came through Union Rescue Mission's recovery program. We all have various testimonies. We all been down and out. You know, and that's what I do. I go out and I talk to congregations. I get them involved with the mission, outreaching with us, partnering with us, supporting us, mentoring men and women that's been victims of not only drugs but abusive situations and other things like that. So I kind of partner up with the community and bring awareness.
When you walk into a church, how do people reach you who have an issue, you know, because churches can be very social and very public, and addiction can be very private sometimes. How, you know, what's been your experience when you go into a church? How do people then come talk to you?
Well, when I go in, I share a little of my testimony. I tell them that I've been delivered from drugs and alcohol through Jesus Christ, through Union Rescue Mission, you know, and I introduce whoever I'm with, because 9 out of 10, I'm always with somebody who's walked the walk I walk. So, and I ask them if they have a problem or if they need to help from the mission to contact me.
But do they?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, it works. Each one teach one.
Chris, when you think about the work that you've done, do you find that anyone is ever alienated by the religious approach? I know that there's, you know, some debate in different recovery communities about what it means to have a higher power and how flexible you can be in the definition of a higher power, whether it has to be, you know, Christ or Allah, or whether it can just be, I'm powerless, therefore there is a higher power. I mean, how does that play out?
It in answer to the initial question, yes. I mean, a lot of people are alienated depending on where they go. They may go to a Union Gospel Mission in any given city and not have any interest in Jesus Christ. And so then it doesn't work for that person. Or if the program's flexible and good, they may be able to make it work for that person. But if it doesn't, they can go somewhere else. A lot of people, and I've heard it over and over again from people who went to AA for the first time or the first few times, they were even put off by this generic reference to a higher power or to the phrase that you often see in AA literature is God as we understand him. And so they might be put off by that, but, you know, they stay long enough and they find out that they can define, that people mean that when they say, as we understand him, meaning each person can define that higher power for themselves. The trick for a lot of people is to remember that alcohol or drugs were a lower power, so to speak, that controlled the person's lives, and so that now they need a higher power that's not going to kill them. And you can apply that same paradigm, so to speak, to almost any treatment and recovery paradigm. Even if someone just goes into counseling, they have to at some point believe the counseling is going to help them, or else it'll never help them.
Just quickly, Jeremiah, and we'll talk more about this after a break because we're going to keep you guys on. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, I'm glad you're Christian, but this doesn't work for me?
Yeah, I had some people come up and saying that, you know, they tried the church role and it just didn't work because they couldn't put their hands on God. You know what I mean? They couldn't reach out and physically touch him. So for me, being in power, being a leader, being out there, being respected and being needed keeps me sober. And for a lot of addicts, they don't get the chance to have someone need them, you know, or somebody believe in them, not having them relapse or go back on whatever their illness was. So they just need somebody to trust them.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue this conversation about spirituality and recovery from addiction just after the break. I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Today, we are continuing our addiction series with a look at spirituality and recovery. We're back with Chris Wingwald and Jeremiah Johnson. Chris is the author of The Soul of Recovery, and Jeremiah, in addition to having his own story of recovery, works for United Rescue Mission in Los Angeles. So, gentlemen, thanks for staying with us. Let's jump back into things. When you think about the work that you do as a addiction counselor or liaison with the churches, how do you think churches are stacking up? Because churches have become very important, have always been important, but, you know, when you think about faith-based initiatives, which President Bush started, and now, we're, you know, Senator Obama says if he is elected, he'll continue them. What role do you think the church really has to play?
And as far as
addiction.
It has a key role because, see, you can meet a minister, and that minister can be your brother in Christ. It can be a mentor. You know, people need to put their faith where it belongs, in Jesus Christ, you know, and the church is the key for that, you know, involvement in your community.
Do you think it's a good idea that government is getting involved in funding programs that are church-based?
About time.
Mm. What do you think, Chris?
I have concerns about it. The One thing I've always admired about most union rescue missions is that they traditionally refuse government money because they didn't want to have to adapt their message. The faith-based initiative of George Bush, it became a bit of a moot issue towards the end of his 8 years. I know we're still in that end. But most of that funding went to church or faith-based groups that were doing other types of work. As far as I can tell, most treatment, you know, that's run by programs with staff and clinical models and so on and so forth, did not get involved in faith-based funding. Most of that went for other types of church-based programs. The tricky thing is, and the courts have ruled pretty consistently, that if a program takes government money, it cannot offer just one type of spiritual or religious counseling or therapy, what have you. For instance, a number of cases have been won by people who objected because they were mandated to a certain treatment program that practiced or adhered only to the 12-step model. And courts in different states around the country have consistently ruled that the AA 12 steps are tantamount to a religion. Most members of AA would reject that completely. They're insistent that it's not religious, that it's spiritual. But the courts, I think, have a point. Anyway, the long and short of it is that the programs taking government money cannot offer only the 12-step model or, for that matter, any other explicitly religious program. Or if the way out is to offer several.
Well, Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
This is really about you. If you have a relapse and you go back to crack cocaine or some other addictive substance, given that you credit God with your recovery, would you then have a lapse of faith in God?
No. I just have a chink in my armor. That means that something happened to throw me back that way. No, I wouldn't have a lapse of faith. You know, I would just have to dig inside of me and look at my structure of my recovery. You know, what did I do? Did I do all I needed to do? Did I pay attention in class? Did I work the steps, or where did I go wrong? You know, believe me, when you relapse before you relapse. It's already planned. You're already going down the road to relapse. You start to do old things. You start to hang out with old people. You start to get laxed. And recovery is a constant battle. It is no time to relax. it's time to fight and keep moving forward. You think you got this thing, that's when it sneaks up and grab you.
How do you relate now? You talked about a special woman who, you know, I guess is like a godmother to you, who basically smacked you upside the head. Is she still around? Is
she
still?
No, she passed away. She passed. Yeah, she passed away, but she was able to see me grow. She was able to see me get married. She was able to see me purchase a home. Well, not that part, but she was able to see me move into my own place, put it like that. She was able to see me help other people. She was able to hear my music. She was able to watch my growth, and she was able to guide me in that walk, you know. So she was able, she was there. So she was important in that aspect.
Did she have faith? Faith in God and faith in you?
She did. She had faith in God and faith in me. You know, she used her faith with her right hand. Mommy was strong.
All right. Well, gentlemen, Chris, Jeremiah, I want to thank you both for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Jeremiah Johnson is the director of church relations for the Union Rescue Mission in downtown Los Angeles, and he joined us here in our studios at NPR West in Culver City, California. Chris Ringwald is the author of The Soul of Recovery, Uncovering the Spiritual Dimension in the Treatment of Addiction.